20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Thursday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. If you could just take a quick moment, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, whatever you can. Check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships as well. Always appreciate that a ton. Today is a fun one. Spreadsheet Andy is back. Salary cap Andy is back. We are going to take a deep dive into the Packers 2026 salary cap. We're going to do that in nerdy detail. I do not apologize. I do give you fair warning in advance. I will say this one thing. I will almost always try to create a similar audio experience if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your favorite podcasts as I do on the YouTube channel. But today, there are going to be visual elements. So if you are listening on audio and have the ability to switch over to YouTube, I highly recommend doing so just because there are going to be some visual aids that will give you a little bit better interpretation of exactly what we're talking about. But I promise I will try to do my best to make it so that this is still discernible and understandable, even if you're listening on the audio podcast today. But if given the choice, check it out over on YouTube today. Before we get there, and we'll get there very shortly, I promise, we did have one big piece of news from Wednesday. Luke Getsy is going to be the new Packers quarterbacks coach. Now, he was in his stint last year a senior assistant. I don't know if he's going to keep senior assistant and get the quarterbacks coach or if they're just moving him to quarterbacks coach. I don't know what that's exactly going to look like, but he is going to be Jordan Love's quarterbacks coach and, of course, every other quarterback that ends up on the roster as well. But he's going to take over that mantle. And my goodness, I guess I should just expect it by now, but the amount of complaints over hiring Luke Getsy as quarterback's coach is astounding to me. And yes, I know, you know, I'm just going to back the Packers no matter what, and I'm fine with complacency and everything else. This is a very knowledgeable, professional quarterback's coach that, yes, failed miserably as an offensive coordinator in Chicago. And even after that, got another opportunity with the Raiders and failed miserably as an offensive coordinator with the Raiders. Absolutely happened. Sometimes you promote to the own level of your own incompetence. I understand that. Maybe that's what happened with Getsy. I will say he had two terrible situations in Chicago and with the Raiders. Nobody would wish upon their first two offensive coordinator gigs with those two teams, but I wouldn't recommend the Packers make him offensive coordinator. I wouldn't recommend any other team make him offensive coordinator. You get two stints in the NFL, regardless of situation, and you fail at them, you failed, all right? He has been a good quarterbacks coach in Green Bay and has worked with Jordan Love. Considering that, you know, they lost their quarterbacks coach, I think, relatively unexpectedly. I don't think they thought their one-year quarterbacks coach was going to get a offensive coordinator play calling job in year two as a real legitimate coach. I don't think they expected that. They did go outside and interview some other candidates, or at least one other candidate as well. But this was a logical and sound and I think rather obvious conclusion to this conundrum. Luke Getsy was already on staff. He's already been Jordan Love's quarterbacks coach. And while he didn't work as an offensive coordinator, his work as a quarterbacks coach in Green Bay is what got him recognized. He was here in Matt's first year in 2019 and then stayed on as quarterbacks coach the next 2 years, but did so well in 2019 that they promoted him to passing game coordinator. So that's noteworthy. In fact, I think he probably would have been the offensive coordinator in Green Bay over Adam Stenovich had that situation presented itself, except he got the opportunity to call plays in Chicago, so he left for Chicago. Remember, Hackett went to Denver. The offensive coordinator job opened up. I think Hackett, took Justin Outen with him, and then Getsy goes to Chicago, and then Green Bay is left hiring Adam Stenovich as their offensive coordinator. I say left, not as like a bad thing, just that was who the remaining top candidate was. So that was sort of the situation. But he did so well his first year. He got those two opportunities, or the two next years as a passing game coordinator as well, and did so well with those that he got not only the offensive coordinator position in Chicago, but again, even when he failed in Chicago, there was still he was so well thought of that he got another opportunity in the Raiders. And yes, he failed at both of those. I get it. I understand it. I'm not defending those or saying that he was great at those and that he should get another chance. No, but now he's going back to what he did well. It's sort of like Jonathan Gannon. He promoted to head coach. Didn't work, but he was still a very good defensive coordinator in Philly, and you're hoping that he can take that over in Green Bay and become what he was in Philly, a great defensive coordinator. Sometimes you promote and it doesn't work out. We've seen that, especially with head coaches like Vance Joseph, right? Vance Joseph, great defensive coordinator, promotes the head coach, doesn't work, becomes a great defensive coordinator again. We've seen it with Steve Spagnuolo. We've seen it with, Jim Schwartz. We've seen it with a multitude of different coaches where you get that Josh McDaniels, you get that opportunity to promote. It doesn't work. You go back and you're great at your old job again. I expect that to be exactly what happens with Luke Getsy. Worked great as quarterbacks coach, got promoted twice to offensive coordinator, didn't work. Now he's a quarterbacks coach again. And I think he's a fantastic hire for this specific situation. He, again, is somebody that's worked with Jordan. He was there last year to see exactly what they were working with him on. And now you can carry that over. And the truth of the matter is, I don't really have any concern about Jordan, almost regardless of who his quarterbacks coach is. You could be his quarterbacks coach, and I'd say like, Jordan's going to be fine. You have a passing game coordinator. You have an offensive coordinator. You have a head coach in Matt LaFleur, who actually is a bit of a quarterback whisperer. Like this is going to be fine. Where Getsy will prove himself a little bit more is with the new quarterbacks that are there. Kyle McCord, whoever might ultimately be there, Desmond Ridder. But that's where Getsy can make his money a little bit more here. This is a totally understandable and I think fairly obvious result. I'm excited about Getsy being back in that role. And I'm just stunned by the amount of people that are voicing off of like, oh, this is just more complacency by the Packers. It's a totally fine hire. And the ultimate truth of it, it probably doesn't matter all that much if we're being totally honest. All right, let's get to our main topic for today, which is the Packers 2026 salary cap. I think this is always one of the most important things to look at because it gives you an idea of where Green Bay's at. And as we get ready for free agency, exactly what Green Bay can do. I'm not necessarily today saying what they should do. I'm not necessarily today saying, what some pie in the sky things are, but I want to show you where they are right now with their salary cap. And then also what money they can open up and what kind of free agents they could sign. Can they sign one? Can they sign two? Can they sign three, et cetera? We'll look at all of that today. I do want to give a shout out before I get into everything to Over the Cap, who I got a ton of the numbers from, Spotrac, who I got a couple things from, and then Ken Ingles too, who had some great information on his Twitter page that was super helpful as well, including some of the carryover cap and things like that. I will also note here that a lot of my information is predicated on what information is out there on Over the Cap, Spotrac, Ken Ingles, et cetera. All right. So there may be a number or two that are slightly off. There's for example, Micah Parsons, his contract is like 20,000 different on Over the Cap than it is on Spotrac. All right. There may be a couple of minor rounding errors or things like that. I'm fairly confident this thing's like 98, 99% close. It may have a couple, again, rounding errors here or there. Not mine. I'm just saying from other sites that I'm getting the information from, et cetera. That's not even the point necessarily of the exercise. It's not to be 100% perfect. It may be a million or two off here or there on in totality, which is a few, Trayvon Diggs pickups at the end of the year. Remember, he got $500,000 just for signing for a game and a half or two games technically, which was one snap at the end of the year that actually mattered. So there could be a couple things here or there that are just a slight bit off. That's not the point of the exercise, right? My point of the exercise is not to show you my math today and the abacus and getting to the final result and exactly the dollar for dollar. I think it's pretty damn close. I think it's like 99.9% close, but there's probably a couple things here or there. The point of the exercise is to show you in general the vicinity of what they're around and then what they can open up. And that today I can guarantee you we will hit and make sure that you understand by the end of today's episode. So without further ado, let's bring back Spreadsheet Andy, which I could not be more excited about. Here's what we got. Here is the Packers' current 2026 salary cap. All right. They've got Jordan Love, Desmond Ridder, Kyle McCord, Josh Jacobs, Marshawn Lloyd, Damian Martinez, Pierre Strong. I'm not going to read through everybody. You guys know what the roster is. I will let you know that this initial one here does include Elgton Jenkins on it. It does include Rashawn Gary on it. All right. So this is the roster as is right now. It does not include any restricted free agents. It does not include any unrestricted free agents. It does include anybody that's currently under contract. It also includes any exclusive rights free agents like Bo Melton, for example. Bo Melton is on here. Exclusive rights free agents are pretty simple, okay? Unless you just want to get rid of the player, you bring them back. It's a vet minimum one-year deal. Depending on how many years of service they've accrued at that point, it can vary a little bit in how much money they make. It's not much, but it's a one-year vet minimum deal with no guarantees. It is the most obvious, yes, we're going to pick those up, and then if we don't want them, we can release them later situation that you could possibly imagine. So that's why I have the exclusive rights guys on here. It's just because there's almost never a situation in which you don't want them at this point in time. And so they're on there. Other than that, this is the roster exactly as it is right now. I also have on here for the practice squad this coming year, I have 5.1 million, a little bit more than that. It's going to be around there. It depends on how many veterans they have and how many inexperienced players they have. It can vary a little bit, but I've got about 5.1 calculated for the practice squad here. We do have carryover cap. This is a mixture of the carryover cap, a couple adjustments that Ken Ingles pointed out, and then dead cap, which is primarily Kenny Clark as well. So that's all combined into one category here, which is about negative 8 million. I'm putting the salary cap at 304.3 million dollars. So $304.3 million is where I have the salary cap set. We don't know 1,000,000% for sure, but it's going to be somewhere, I think, between 302 and 305 million. So I have it set at 304.3. If you take the deduction of the negative 8.3 million after carryover cap and dead cap to the 304.3 million, we have 295.9 million in actual salary cap space for Green Bay. And then if you look at where Green Bay's cap is right now, it's at, not including that practice squad, just include, you know, the guys, and this is only the top 53 players. All right. This is only the top 53 players. It doesn't include everyone that's under contract. There's a reason for that. You're only going to keep your top 53. So you have 68 players that are under contract right now. So we're only counting the top 53. All right. Technically at this point in time, you only have to keep the top 51. I'm aware of that rule. At some point, you have to account for those extra two players anyway. And Green Bay's never going to be to the point at the beginning of the league year that they're within only 3 million anyway. So just account for it now. Just account for it now. And then you can kind of get that extra step down the road out of the way. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm accounting for the top 53 players, even though that there's 68 players currently on the roster, which is the right way to do it. If you look at where they're at right now, what that brings you to is a cap hit or a cap space of 299 million. Remember, what we had in leftover carryover was 295 million. So they're a little bit less than about 4 million actually over the salary cap. You add in that 5 million in practice squad money, and effectively they're negative 8 million in salary cap space. Now, we can also talk about a slush fund at this point. You usually want, I like to put about 10 million aside. So you could say effectively you're 18 million over the salary cap too. But for now, just looking at because we know they're going to have a practice squad, right? They're going to have all 18 guys. And we know that they're going to have to account for the top 53 players at some point. Right now, they have negative 8 million in actual salary cap space is the way that I'm looking at this, again, based on where the salaries are at right now. So we have work to do. We have to find a way to not only get under the salary cap, but get under it enough so that we have that slush fund going into the season for all of the injured players, guys that you want to sign during the course of the season, practice squad call-ups, all of it. We need to have money for that. We also need to fill out our roster. We need to be able to afford our draft picks. We need to, you know, re-sign anybody that we want to re-sign. And we probably want some space for some free agents as well, whether they're cut players so they don't count against comp pick formula or whether they're actual free agents. We need to figure out a way to do all of that. You may notice if you are watching on YouTube that we have some players highlighted in yellow. Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, Christian Watson, Tucker Kraft, Zach Tom, Aaron Banks, Elgton Jenkins, Devontae Wyatt, Carl Brooks, Rashawn Gary, Nate Hobbs, Xavier McKinney, and Brandon McManus. Those are players that we're going to talk through today about what options that we have with those particular players to maybe free up some space or just some logical moves with extensions to keep them on the team moving forward for a couple of those players as well. Those are the ones we're primarily going to be focused on. There are other players. For example, Carl Brooks is a great example of this. At $3.658 million, Carl Brooks, you can save almost all that money by releasing him. Sorry, he is actually on my list today as well. But you could save almost all that money by releasing him. Dontayvion Wicks is in the same category. I don't have him listed because I just expect him to be on the roster. There's always a few other players that you could look at. You know, Keyshawn Nixon we could look at too, but I expect him to be on the roster. So there are other ways to open up some space, but those are the ones that we're going to primarily focus on today. We'll be right back. Hey friends, it's time to shoot your shot on Prize Picks and get $50 in lineups instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's right, Prize Picks is now giving you $50 in lineups when you sign up and play your first $5 lineup. Now Prize Picks makes every dunk, every dime, and every board that much more exciting. So don't miss this chance to get started on America's number one app for sports picks. And yes, Prize Picks is available here in Wisconsin. I've been picking more or less every week and have never looked back. Make sure to check if Prize Picks is available in your area today, and it probably is. They're available in 50 states. Now, Prize Picks doesn't end with football season. This week, I'm going with some basketball and hockey. Tyrese Maxey, Connor McDavid, Cade Cunningham, all three are going to be in my lineups this week. I can't wait. And guess what? Baseball season is going to be here before you know it as well. So it's time to join millions of users and sign up for America's number one sports picks app. And Prize Picks puts their users first, so all withdrawals are fast and secure. So download that Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. So we're going to start here. I'm actually going to get to this one here in just a second. We're going to start here with looking at what we can potentially save with these players. So Jordan Love, we have the ability with a restructure. This is with the biggest restructure we can do, okay? That means void years, up to 5 years and everything like that. Up to 5 years of restructure, adding void years. This is the most that we can get. We could save $7.35 million by restructuring Jordan Love. Josh Jacobs, we could save $8.3 million by cutting him, or about $7.1 million by restructuring him. Christian Watson, the extension here, I actually think is going to cost potentially about $6 million on this year's salary cap. There's probably some ways that they could do it a little bit different, but I'm actually accounting for some additional money to be on the salary cap this year by extending Christian Watson. Doesn't necessarily have to be, but I'm just going to be on the safe side and actually add additional money to Christian Watson's contract. Same with Tucker Kraft, about $3 million additional, what I expect to be on his salary cap this year when they ultimately extend him. Zach Tom, we can save almost $3 million by restructuring. Aaron Banks, we could save $4.5 million towards the salary cap this year by releasing him, or about $13 million by restructuring him. They should not do that, but we'll talk about it. Elgton Jenkins, save $19.5 million against the cap by releasing him. Devontae Wyatt, save about $6 million by extending him. You could also restructure, but I'm going to focus on extending him here. Carl Brooks, you could save about $3.6 million by cutting him. Rashawn Gary, $11 million by cutting him, $14 million by restructuring him. Quick timeout, okay? When I have said that I will believe that Rashawn Gary gets cut when I see it, despite it being the most obvious, logically smart thing that Green Bay could do, this is a huge reason why. On the surface, if I just asked you right now, would you rather save $11 million by cutting Rashawn Gary? Again, and now we're just talking salary cap space here, right? Not overall money. I want to be clear on this. But from a salary cap space standpoint in 2026, would you rather save $11 million by cutting Rashawn Gary, or $14 million-ish, or a similar amount of money, by restructuring Rashawn Gary and having him on the team? What would you rather do? So I get to keep Rashawn on the team and I save $3 million more? Yeah, they could do that. Now, you're going to pay way more for him down the road. and it's going to cost you a crap ton later, and it's the dumbest decision you could possibly do, but at least in my opinion. But that is a true statement. You could actually save more money this year towards the cap by keeping him on the roster with a full restructure. They like Rashawn Gary. He was a team captain. He was a first-round pick of theirs that they've extended already. I'm telling you right now, I expect Rashawn Gary to get cut. They should cut Rashawn Gary, but there is an avenue here for them to keep him, restructure him, pay more down the road for it, but save money now and keep him on the roster. If they don't want to do a bunch of stuff, re-signing Kingsley Nagbari or doing anything else, especially knowing that Micah Parsons is going to miss the opening part of the season, maybe they feel like Rashawn would be better standing up as a 3-4 guy if that's what Gannon's going to do. Maybe going back to that would be better for Gary. I'm just saying, I wouldn't rule it out entirely. They should. I think they will. But just they have a loyalty with these guys sometimes. And there is a way here to actually save more money in 2026 by restructuring than there would be in actually releasing him. All right, Hobbs. You could save only $800,000 by cutting him against the cap this year. We've talked about already, you shouldn't look at it that way. We talked about the same thing with Aaron Banks. We did an episode on that of cut candidates. If you haven't watched that yet, that's a really good primer before this episode to understand that a little bit better. But when you're talking about pure 2026 salary cap, then that's where we're looking at the $800K that you would save this year only. Xavier McKinney, $9.87 million. Is what you would save by restructuring him, or could save up to that by restructuring him. Then Brandon McManus, you could save almost $2 million by releasing. Those are the players that we're specifically looking at today as to how Green Bay could save some money and get under the salary cap a little bit more. Let's get to our restructures here. I just want to walk through some of these because I think these are sort of important to understand. Again, this is where if you're watching on YouTube, you probably have a little bit better visibility here on exactly what I'm talking about. But Jordan Love's a great example of where he's at right now. $10.4 million in base salary, $24.6 million in signing bonus and an option bonus money that's paid out and you can't really restructure it. He doesn't have any restructured money now, no roster bonus. And he's got $1.1 million in a per game roster bonus plus a workout bonus, for a total cap hit this year of $36.157 million. The only money that you can save here with a restructure for Jordan Love is by taking this $10.4 million base salary and reducing it to the minimum that it could be, which is $1.215 million for this year, which saves you about, a little less than $8.2 million. And then you can take that $8.2 million, turn it into a signing bonus, and spread it over 5 years, which costs you $1.837 this year, included with the $1.215 million base that you have this year as well, that you have to at least keep as a minimum. And that cap hit then goes from $36.2 million basically to a $28.8 million with a restructure, saving you about $7.35 million. That's how you get to this restructure for Jordan Love. Now, it's worth noting that that money just doesn't disappear. Oh, they say they paid him signing bonus, so all right, hands are clean of it. No, it's going to hit in future years. So you saved $7.3 million off of this year's salary cap by moving $7.35 million to future salary caps. You're just transporting it. You're just borrowing from the future to pay for a little bit more now. That's all it is. It's a credit card. Ken Ingles, you're kicking the can down the road. So you can open $7.35 million in salary cap space by moving it to future years. Now, with a player like Jordan Love, you feel comfortable doing that because he's going to be here for a while. What you don't want to do is perform the same task on players that you're probably going to have to cut sooner rather than later, or that may not be here for the length of the contract. So players like Aaron Banks, I don't love a restructure for. Yes, you could save $12.78 million by doing that, but I don't love the idea because he's probably somebody that you want to get rid of next year. But Xavier McKinney, Zach Tom, Jordan Love specifically, and I would say even Josh Jacobs, I feel a lot more comfortable in doing restructures for if you want to open that money up and start borrowing money from the future. And I'm okay with doing that, by the way, too, because borrowing from the future and doing those restructures is mostly okay if those players are going to be on the roster because it opens salary cap space. And what it does, because there's carryover cap, is it just gives you optionality. It gives you the flexibility and freedom to go get free agents now if you want to. But if you don't, you still have that money and you can carry it over into next year's salary cap and start paying for some of those bills that you now borrowed from in the future. So it's just a tool for flexibility now. You don't have to use it unless you're a GM that's going to have, you know, kind of money burning through your pocket and feeling like you have to spend it. You can do that. And, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world. Just gives you a few more options here in the here and the now. But it's worth noting that, again, you're not creating money out of nowhere. Poof, well, we have more money. You're costing yourself in future salary cap seasons. But salary cap continues to rise. Then you get another year later where you get another fifth-year void option. There'll be base salaries that are high next year that you can do the same thing with. So there is a moment that you do kind of get this perpetual motion machine going. However, there is a limit to it. And you have to be cognizant of it and you have to be careful of it or you will limit yourself. And even if, as I talk about all the time, even if you end up in a situation where, yeah, you can always open up more salary cap space, right? You might be able to, but every other team can do that too. And the other teams that have salary cap space still are a leg ahead of you. All right. So if when you're competing for buying free agents, they're going to have more money than you inherently because you've had to lessen your availability for space because you know, are borrowing from the future and don't have salary cap space of your own. Another team that has not borrowed from the future yet and has salary cap money now has salary cap money and money they can borrow from the future. So they have more avenues to do so. But I digress. This is something that Green Bay can do. And again, you can kind of see the savings here. 7.3 mil with Jordan Love with the full restructure. 7.1 mil for Josh Jacobs. 2.9 mil for Zach Tom. 12.8 mil for Aaron Banks. And 9.2 mil for Xavier McKinney. That brings us to what we ultimately decided to do, or in this case, what I ultimately decided to do. So if you remember, just really quick here, we were before, considering the practice squad as well, we were 8 million over the salary cap. All right. So we had work to do. So we went through our options with restructures, with cutting players, et cetera. And here's what we have. Here's what I decided to do. I decided to do a full restructure on Jordan Love. To save 7.35 million. That's not the end of the world. I can handle that. Josh Jacobs, I decided to do a full restructure on him. This one's maybe a little bit more of like, you know, could you get by without doing it? And the answer is probably yes, but I want the option. I want the flexibility. If I want to add a big time player to my roster, I want the ability to do so. We're opening it up by restructuring Josh Jacobs in full, saving 7.1 million towards this year's salary cap space. I'm extending Christian Watson. I'm using basically the Jameson Williams contract extension. So that's actually going to cost me an additional $6 million towards the salary cap this year. So these are the adjusted numbers for Love and Jacobs and Christian Watson. For those listening, 28.7 or 28.8 now for Jordan Love, 7.5 mil for Josh Jacobs, 12.3 mil this year for Christian Watson. Tucker Kraft is also an extension. We're adding some money to his salary. So he's now at 6.9 million. Zach Tom, we restructured him, saving 2.91 million, which brings his contract or his cap space this year to 9.2 million in salary cap. We, with Devontae Wyatt, extended him, which actually freed up $6 million based on where his contract was at. So his is now at 6.9 million. We did not do anything with Carl Brooks. We did not do anything with Aaron Banks. That allows us to be able to cut him in the future as well. We did restructure Xavier McKinney. We did not cut Nate Hobbs or do anything with him. And McKinney saved us 9.87 million, which brings his contract this year to also 9.87 million. So, oh, and then we also cut Elgton Jenkins and Rashawn Gary, what should be the two most obvious moves of the entire offseason. So, just to recap, restructure Jordan Love, restructure Josh Jacobs, extended Christian Watson and Tucker Kraft, restructured Zach Tom, extended Devontae Wyatt, restructured Xavier McKinney, cut Rashawn Gary, cut Elgton Jenkins. Drum roll, please. So I added to the carryover cap, my dead cap hit here. I added the dead cap hits for Elgton Jenkins and Rashawn Gary that would have accelerated towards this year. Elgton Jenkins and Rashawn Gary again cut. And now we have, ultimately, including the practice squad, our 53 players that are the highest paid players, we now have $43.6 million in available salary cap space. Now, that's $43.6 million, but it's going to cost probably, let's just take $1.6 million for those draft picks to sign. So we're down to about $42 million. We have about, I'd like to say about $10 million in slush fund for the season. I would bet that's probably closer to at least $12 million. So that brings us to about $30 million to play with. That does not include any restricted free agents, which would be minimum to take away from that. Any re-signings, if you want to bring back Sean Ryan, if you want to bring back Romeo Doubs, if you want to bring back Quay Walker, and it does not include any free agent signings. You know, so right now, you don't have, you know, Emmanuel Wilson or Chris Brooks at running back. You probably don't have a backup quarterback yet. Doubs is gone. You don't have a number three tight end. You don't have a swing tackle. You know, Kennard is gone in this scenario, or he's not re-signed yet, I should say. You don't really have, you know, you're lacking maybe some backup guards. You don't have a starting center. Edge rusher, Gary is gone, and Igbari is gone. So you probably need a number three edge rusher. You don't maybe have a starting linebacker, depending on what you view Isaiah McDuffie or Tyron Hopper as. You haven't done anything at corner. Safety is probably good. Special teams probably good. But that's where you kind of stand right now. But you take the slush fund into account, the draft picks into account, and you have about $30 million right around there remaining to play with. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. But you might say, all right, well, I'm thinking about this logically. Well, you know, if you want to re-sign Sean Ryan, that's probably about, you know, $10 million a year. That brings us down to 20. And you said maybe you go out and get a free agent contract for Nate Hobbs. That's about 15 per year. If something similar, right? All right. So now you're down to 5 million. That doesn't leave me a whole heck of a lot else. Okay. But you have to remember, when you sign somebody to a $15 million per year deal, they don't get that in their first year. So for example, let's look at John Runyon Jr.'s contract, which was a three-year, $30 million contract when he signed it, which could be very similar to what Sean Ryan would get in free agency. That first year, when he signed that, his cap number in year one was $6.5 million. So it's not the $10 million on average. It's only $6.5 million in year one. So you re-sign Sean Ryan, his cap number in year one might be closer to $6.5 million. All right, of that 30, now I still have $23.5 million remaining to go out and spend. All right, well, what if then, what if I want to go out and sign a big-time free agent that is like $20 million per year? It's somewhere in that range. Let's go look at Aaron Banks' contract. Aaron Banks signed a contract worth $77 million on a four-year deal. His salary cap in year one, his cap hit in year one, was just a bit over $9 million. So again, you could sign three of those theoretically if you wanted to. They won't, and more on that in a moment. But theoretically sign three of those and still be under that $30 million salary cap that you have to spend. Let's take a look at a couple other examples. Nate Hobbs, when he signed his four-year deal this past year, so if they got a similar style corner, right, around the same sort of value, well, now, and his was around like a little over, what, 12 and a half million. His cap hit in year one was only $6 million. How about Paulson Adebo, one of the top corners on the market last year? Adebo, in his first year, got $9 million in his cap hit. And then if you want to look at one of the top interior defensive linemen that signed, Jonathan Allen, despite getting, you know, a huge contract, his first year was only $6.4 million. So it's worth noting that you have the ability to go out and sign a big player, maybe two, to these contracts to fill in some of that space. Now, we're going to go through next week a full simulation of what they could do, who they could sign, and we'll go through it in great detail. Two things that I want to note here is that we just borrowed a bunch of money from future salary caps, and we extended Devontae Wyatt, Christian Watson, and Tucker Kraft, which is going to primarily hit future salary caps. And you have Jordan Love, and you have Micah Parsons, and next year you've got a potential Jaden Reed extension if you want to. You know, eventually there's going to be Evan Williams, and there's going to be Javon Bullard, and there's going to be Edgerrin Cooper, and there's going to be others that you want to re-sign. Green Bay does have to be somewhat fiscally responsible. We today are looking at 2026. Brian Gutekunst and Russ Ball do not have the ability to just, or have the privilege to just look at 2026. They've got to look at 27, 28, 29 and beyond, say, where is that going to leave us moving forward? If you do all these restructures that I mentioned and extend Watson and Kraft and Wyatt and sign two players to massive deals that are primarily going to hit the salary cap in future years, guess what? You're going to run into problems, significant problems. This is why what I've been saying all along, if you kind of go back to that, you know, kind of $30 million-ish that we have to play with, I would expect that they re-sign somebody like a Sean Ryan and go get, again, one fairly significant free agent signing. I think that is well within their purview to be able to do. And then re-sign guys like Chris Brooks and Emmanuel Wilson if they want to, you know, that are restricted free agents. You know, maybe find a linebacker on the cut list that they like that they can bring in on the relative cheap to compete with McDuffie and Hopper. Like, I think those are the things that we're going to be looking at that Green Bay can potentially do, if that makes sense. We'll be right back. The other thing that I want to note here is comp picks. We talked about them a little bit earlier. Yes, you could sign a few big free agent signings if you want, but it's going to cost you comp picks. So you're almost making trades, right? Because you have six players that could sign elsewhere in free agency that are probably going to get some sort of comp picks back. If you were to bring back Ryan and sign two big free agents and the other three players elsewhere, well, now you're only getting three comp picks instead of four. Remember, four is the max you can get. So there is going to be some comp pick slash draft capital math that Green Bay is going to have to decide. And they could say, you know, Rams style, F them picks. We don't care about them. We're good. We don't need that extra comp pick. Does that sound like Goody? Probably not. He probably is going to want that comp pick. So out of the six unrestricted free agents that are likely to sign elsewhere, my guess is they can re-sign up to two of those, or resign one and sign two unrestricted free agents, or resign one, sign one unrestricted free agent, resign two, get no unrestricted free agents, or resign none and get two unrestricted free agents. All right. So two combined between unrestricted free agents and resigning their own unrestricted free agents. Two total. That's probably what they want so they can get the max four comp picks at the end of the day. Now, they can still sign players who are cut to big contracts and do some things like that too, which is why you want to keep an eye out for those cut candidates. Because if they can find a good player on a reasonable deal that's a cut candidate, or even a big deal as a cut candidate, it's not going to count against the comp pick formula. All worth noting. The moral of the story of today is that they have avenues to open up salary cap space. And many of these, restructuring Jordan Love, restructuring Zach Tom on the cheap, restructuring Xavier McKinney, extending Devontae Wyatt, releasing Elgton Jenkins, releasing Rashawn Gary, and maybe restructuring Josh Jacobs. Those all make sense for Green Bay and will open up the opportunity to make deals. Brian Gutekunst lied about some stuff in his press conference. One of the things that he did not lie about was having the flexibility to make moves if they want to, if the right move comes along. I have a feeling that Brian Gutekunst's message did not change, meaning it's time to start competing for championships, the one from a year ago. And with that in mind, I would be pretty surprised if Goody just flat out sat on his hands and did nothing. I don't expect it to be a free agency frenzy. You're not going to see, you know, any sort of Adrian Amos, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, and Billy Turner signed all in the same offseason. I don't think you're going to see anything like that, but re-signing one of their guys, I think signing a corner is going to potentially make a lot of sense. I think Sean Ryan and Monteric Brown is like, now you're cooking. That it's almost too perfect. And Monteric Brown, we talked about with Justice the other day, is like an A1 premium tier Goody type draft pick. That's draft pick, free agent signing. You get my point. That's their type. When they do something like this, premium position, just, you know, out of his first contract, still young enough, can sign him to a 4-year deal, in a position of need both this year and in future years. It's a near perfect match for what Goody would look for. Resign Sean Ryan on your offensive line, fill some holes via the draft, and then look at value free agent signings from there. That feels almost exactly what I would expect Green Bay could and or should do this offseason. Not a frenzy, but upgrades, or at least a significant upgrade of some real true extent. He could also say, hey, instead of doing that, we're going to take two mid-tier free agents and a cut player and sign three guys for the same money we would have given to Monteric Brown, something like that. But I think you're better off kind of going with the more proven commodity and getting somebody really good rather than, you know, three mid-tier players. The overarching story, as I was saying before, is there's flexibility. You have money to spend if you want to, or you can be a little bit more cautious, not restructure as many players, save you some salary cap space for next year, and continue to have opportunities year over year and not maybe be as aggressive with trying to open that window as aggressively this year. Those are the decisions that Goody and Russ Ball are going to have to make. Overall, it seems right now, when you go back to the beginning and say, oh my God, they're over the cap, like this, that's not good. And it doesn't seem like it at first on paper, but there are moves that they can make to open up space and to go spend money. And overall, their salary cap still right now is insanely healthy. Nothing out of the ordinary, nothing that they have to do. And they have the flexibility to go add players if they want to add players, or a big player if they want. That's what I got for you today. Spreadsheet Andy's back. It's good. It's been a hot second. As I mentioned, we'll go through a full simulation. This is kind of your good primer for what we're going to do probably on Monday as we go through an entire simulation of what Green Bay is going to do. But really looking forward to that. We'll see you there. Friday is going to be happy hour. So make sure to check out that tomorrow. We'll have a full episode for you guys tomorrow as well. Make sure you're checking out the audio episodes too, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. We have a shout out, of course, to give to our All Pro and Hall of Fame members. That includes PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boomhandle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkle, Stinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Bill Reinhardt, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Christian Bradley, Steve Bates, John Mark Liddell, Nemo, Donald Decker, Damon Hartley, and Zilch Zillertson. I'll see you guys soon. Enjoy the rest of your day. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.